All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Shrivadaya Krishna Vrsaya Buddhale Shrimati Bhakta Vedanta Swami Nati Namane Namaste Sarasota Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtachari Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dicharanda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 64, Verse 27-28. Deva Deva Jagannatha Govinda Purushottama Narayana Hrishikesha Punyasokha Chutavyaya. Deva Deva, O Lord of Lords, Jagat of the Universe, Nata, O Master, Govinda, O Lord of the Cows, Purushottama, O Supreme Personality, Narayana, O Foundation of all living beings, Shrishikesha, O Master of the Senses, Punyasloka, O you who are glorified in transcendental poetry, Achyuta, O infallible one, Avyaya, O undiminishing one. Translation, O Deva Deva Jagannatha Govinda Purushottama Narayana Hrishikesha Punyasloka Achyuta Avyaya. O Krishna, please permit me to depart for the world of the demigods. Wherever I live, O Master, may my mind always take shelter of your feet. Purport, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti comments as follows on this verse. His faith emboldened upon receiving the Lord's mercy and thus attaining the status of servitude, King Nirga properly glorifies the Lord by chanting his names and then asks the Lord's permission to take his leave. The spirit of his prayer is as follows. You are Deva Deva, God even of the gods, and Jagannath, the master of the universe. So please be my master. O Govinda, please make me your property with the same merciful glance you used to enchant the cows. You can do this because you are Purushottama, the supreme form of Godhead. O Narayana, since you are the foundation of all living entities, please be my support, even though I am a bad living entity. O Hrishikesh, please make my senses your own. O Punyasloka, now you have become famous as the deliverer of Nirga. O Achyuta, please never be lost to my mind. O Avya, you will never diminish in my mind. Thus, the great Bhagavatam commentator Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains the purport of these verses. Translation, Deva Deva Jagannatha Govinda Purushottama Narayana Hrishikesha Punyasloka Achyuta Avyaya. O Krishna, please permit me to depart for the world of the demigods. Wherever I live, O Master, may my mind always take shelter of your feet. So we see here that the king is giving it a request for a devotion to the Lord, even though he's going to Swarga Loka because he did so many punyas. He has a greater realization now, not simply to enjoy in the material world, but he realizes the ultimate goal is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. And therefore he requests that may his mind always remember the Lord, which is a symptom of a great devotion. So by seeing the Lord, the king got some realization of the relative importance of material punyas and their results, and the primary goal of serving the Supreme Lord. So this took place because of the mercy of the Lord. Without the Lord's mercy, Nirga could never see the Lord or appreciate him. So the Lord was showed extraordinary mercy here by showing himself to this king. So remarkably, here the king expresses himself through Nam Sankirtan. He simply calls out the names of the Lord. Just as the gopis, when they became separated during the Ras Lila, they took shelter of the names of Krishna. And when they called out his names, then he appeared. So here, as a matter of joy, Nirga engages in kirtan of the Lord's names. So he's mention some different names here, like Deva, Deva, Jagannatha, Govinda, Purushottama, Narayana, Hrishikesha, Punyasloka, Achyuta, Avya, which are very common names, and even Vishnu is called by these names. So, on the other hand, they also have special significance for Krishna. So, Deva Deva means Lord of Lords in one sense, because Deva means powerful being. So, he's the Lord of all those Lords. And of course, it can also mean that Krishna is supreme among all the forms of the Lord. Not that he's superior to the Devatas, but Krishna is superior to all the other forms of the Lord, like Narayana and Rama and Narasimha. Deva also has another significance, because Deva comes from the root div, which means to play. Another meaning, of course, is to shine. So he's the most brilliant of the brilliant, and he's also the most playful of all the playful. So he likes to play. Of course, all of the forms of the Lord in the spiritual world engage in lila. But Krishna has the most remarkable pastimes of all. And therefore, he's most attractive. So that can also be indicated by these this first phrase, Deva Deva. He has the most attractive pastimes of all the forms of the Lord. And Jagannath, of course, he's master of the universe, Lord of the universe. And of course, we also use this term for Jagannath and Puri to indicate Krishna, who's also not only Lord of the universe in the sense of being a controller, but he's the most attractive within the whole universe. So the Bhagavatam often praises Krishna as being most attractive. So attractive that his qualities are extraordinary and indescribable, and that even Krishna himself becomes attracted to his own qualities and form, etc. So definitely he's most attractive to the whole world, all the living entities. So not only is a controller, but he's also attractive because of his very sweet qualities. Govinda, of course, means he is he plays with the cows. Of course, go has many meanings. It can also mean even jivas. So he gives enjoyment to all the jivas in the spiritual world, or whatever. In any case, it indicates his pastimes in Vrindavan, where he is playing with the cows and satisfying the cows by his affectionate relationship with them. And Purushottama, of course, generally refers to the Lord as the controller, and often used for even the Purusha avatars, like Mahavishnu, etc., and for Vishnu. However, it can also refer to the highest form of the Supreme Lord, like Swayam Bhagavan refers to Krishna as the highest form of Bhagavan. So therefore, Purushottama can also indicate Krishna, the highest form of the Supreme Lord. And another meaning can be that Purusha, for the gopis, he is the most attractive male of all. So in Madhurya Rasa, we have Krishna as Purushottama, the most attractive form of all. Narayana, of course, usually refers to Vishnu. The derivation is Nara and Ayana. And Ayana means the shelter of Nara. And Nara usually, of course, it means the waters or something that comes from the waters or whatever. And it refers to jivas. So in other words, the Lord is the shelter of all jivas. And we can see that Mahavishnu absorbs all the jivas into himself during pralaya, and so he becomes their shelter. So that's in reference to Vishnu. But, of course, if we go higher and higher, we also see that the other forms of the Lord in Vaikuntha and in Goloka, they are also the shelter of jivas according to their qualification. So the ultimate form is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and he is the shelter of the people in Vrindavan and or Goloka.
So, therefore, he is the shelter of the Krishna, as the shelter of the people of Goloka in the spiritual world, those particular jivas who are qualified for that relationship. Hrishikesha means the master of the senses, often applied to Vishnu also, or to even Paramatma or whatever, because Paramatma is inspiring our senses to act, and without his inspiration, our senses cannot perceive anything. And he witnesses everything as well. But then again, we know in the spiritual world, the senses are used spiritually to perceive the Lord and to serve the Lord. So he is the master of the spiritual senses as well as the material senses. But of all the forms of the Lord, Krishna is the most attractive. So therefore, he stimulates the spiritual senses to the highest degree. So in that sense, he is the master of the senses. He attracts everybody, all the senses of everyone, by his beautiful form and his qualities and activities. And punya sloka means that he is praiseworthy or glorified by pure verses, one who is glorified by pure verses. So all forms of the Lord are glorified. But again, because Krishna is the most attractive, then ultimately he gets the highest praise of all. So then he's the real punya sloka. And achuta means infallible. Generally it means that the Lord, even if he comes in the material world, is not affected. He remains uncontaminated by anything in the material world. However, from a higher point of view, the word means, of course, he doesn't fall or doesn't deviate or doesn't move from his position. So in terms of prema, the Lord is constant in his prema for the devotees, and he never fails or falls from that position. So he always responds to his devotees, and particularly the devotees in the spiritual world, and particularly Krishna has special attraction for the devotees of Vrindavan, and he is their savior in all cases. He never leaves them unprotected. So that's another meaning of achuta in reference to Krishna. So even though it seems that he sometimes fails to keep his promise and he leaves Vrindavan and doesn't come back for some time, still he is achuta. He does fulfill his promise. He does come back. And the bliss increases even more. So he never fails to uphold his promises to the devotees. And avyaya, which means what, indestructible or not decline, not deteriorating in any way. So usually we think of deterioration as the body getting old or disintegrating, etc. But of course, spiritual bodies never disintegrate. Nothing is destroyed in the spiritual world. So the word avyaya can be used for anything in the spiritual world, not only the Lord, but the bodies of the jivas as well. They're also avyaya. On another level, again, we can see that this word can be applied to Krishna's relationship with his devotees. So his relationship of affection is avyaya. It never decreases, rather it increases at all times. So the prema that the Lord expresses for the jiva always increases and never decreases in the spiritual world. And for that reason, the jivas never think of anything else. They never think there's something better than Supreme Lord. So this is so for all forms of the Lord. They're all avyaya. They all have prema for their devotees. But Krishna has a stronger relationship with his devotees. the prema of the devotee for Krishna is stronger than for the other forms of the Lord. And consequently, the devotee's relationship with Krishna is also more remarkable than anything. One of the four characteristics of Krishna that make him very special is his devotees. He has very special devotees who are related to him with the strongest type of prema and most intimate type of prema that's not seen in devotees of other forms of the Lord. Due to that, the relationship of prema becomes more and more intense at all times, and definitely does not decrease in any way. So it is a very apt term for the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. So, using these words, King Nriga not only glorifies the Lord, but he also glorifies Krishna and his very special position in relation to other forms of the Lord. So he has quite a high realization, which is achieved by the mercy of Krishna himself, because Krishna revealed himself to Nriga, in spite of the fact that Nriga was not the highest type of devotee. So it's a very, very merciful aspect of Krishna here. So the king now simply requests, please permit me to go to the Svargaloka, which is the result of leaving the body of the lizard. At the same time, he says, may I always think of your lotus feet. Though he goes to Svargaloka, he maintains this devotion to the Supreme Lord. So that's, we could say, the praiseworthy result of this particular pastime, that he understands the rarity of Krishna in getting his association and seeing him, etc. And he prays for remembering him at all times. So we see that he does not directly go to the spiritual world, as we see with some persons, particularly those who get killed, but he simply returns to a higher body in the material world, and from there we can assume that he progresses to the spiritual world eventually. So according to the different types of devotees, the Lord responds differently, and it is all appropriate to their particular position and their particular level of realization. So in this way, the Lord shows mercy in various ways. Some that go to the spiritual world, even the demons can go to the spiritual world, they get killed by the Lord. In other cases like this, we see he got rid of his impure snake body, and then he went to the heavenly planets, and then he continued his process of devotion. So in this way, the Lord, according to the circumstance of the devotee, gives different types of mercy. Well, Dhruva got that particular position because he had a desire when he was impure to get a kingdom greater than his father or grandfather. So that's what he got. He got a Dhruva Loka, which is a very high planet. Has the Supreme Lord, that's a very special planet. So because of a particular desire, he got a very high planet, higher than Svarga Loka. In this case, by doing punyas, the king was supposed to get his result of Svarga Loka, but because he committed the offense against the Brahmanas, then he had to suffer as the lizard. So in this case, the Lord simply continued with his karmas, so to speak, the results of his karmas. So by doing punyas, he goes to Svarga Loka for some time. Dhruva, of course, is a little bit special because not only he got the kingdom of his father, first of all, for thousands of years, He also realized the Supreme Lord and developed pure bhakti. And then, of course, he went to Dhruvaloka when he gave up his material body. And that's a place within the material world. But then again, and then he stays there for millions and millions and millions of years. And ultimately, then he also goes to the spiritual world. So in either case, they end up with a very similar result, attaining the Lord because of bhakti. But the way in which they go there may be a little different according to their circumstances, according to their desires, etc.
Having darshan of Krishna, it's almost like, you know, if someone sees that Krishna, his all simple activities, reaction goes out. But here also, in the case of Nriga, he saw Krishna. But Krishna, instead of elevating him to the spiritual world, Krishna is Gita.
Okay. So, yes, by seeing the Lord, especially when it's favorable, then we should obviously have no more karmas or whatever like that. So is this karma that's operating or something else? Or in the case of Dhruva also, is it karma or not? And then ultimately we have to say no, because even accidentally chanting the name of the Lord without offense, then you can get rid of all your karmas, past, present, future. Of course, even without that, he saw the Lord. So obviously, if by seeing the Lord, then he must be purified of all of his karmas, etc. So, though that is so, then he stays in the material world. Why? So the answer is that even if there is no karma, sometimes the Lord arranges positions within this material world that appear to be like karma. And so in other words, it seems to follow the pattern of karma. Because he did punyas, therefore he goes to Svargaloka or whatever. Because Dhruva desired to get a kingdom greater than his father or grandfather, then he got up to Dhruvaloka, like this. So sometimes the Lord produces a pattern for the particular devotee, which may look like it's material and due to karma and material desire, but actually it's simply arrangement of the Lord to show, we could say, a pattern of like karma to illustrate things for less advanced persons. So, therefore, in the Vedanta Sutra, there Baladeva Vidyabhusan explains that even if one has prema, which one definitely has no karma, there appears to be a pattern like karma. Because that prema devotee, prema bhakta, has a material body. If he had no karma, his body would disappear. Because body is also karma. So when he got prema, then he should disappear. But no, he doesn't. He stays in the material world. But then if he stays in the material world with a material body, he has to eat, he has to do activities, it's sometimes hot, it's sometimes cold. So he is, the body, at least not his ama, but his body is affected by circumstances. And maybe he gets an accident or something. So this, it looks like karma. So therefore, it's explained that a pattern that looks like karma is there even for the prema bhakta. And probably you could trace, okay, this is like this karma due to this planet, and this, like this, we could trace it out. So there's a slight pattern that remains even for the devotee in prema, as long as he's in the material world. So explanation is, the Lord does this just to show that the pattern of karma is inescapable. But actually it's not there for the devotee, it's not even the lesser devotees, it's not there, but actually pattern remains there. That looks like karma, and externally people say, oh, he's suffering from karma. But actually he's not. It's a pattern that the Lord manifests for that particular devotee. So therefore, there's an appearance of karma, which is not really karma, because it's all gone, and it's under the Supreme Lord only.
See, in the case of Uzzavasis, when Sri Kaliya was creating poisons, other brothers were afraid, and they're also a little bit suffering.
How
can I understand it? It's poison.
How they get poisoned? Actually, no. It's something like when Brahma stole the calves and put them to sleep. And that explanation is actually he could not do so, because the cowherd boys they have spiritual bodies. Brahma doesn't have a spiritual body. He can't even touch them. He can't even come near the real cowherd boys. So how can he put them to sleep in a cave? He can't. So those were false forms. Shakti of Krishna produced these forms of calves and cowherd boys, which Brahma stuck in the cave and they went to sleep. And actually, Brahma cannot put anybody to sleep who's in the spiritual world. He can't even touch them. Huh? So the Lord often makes different arrangements for different persons. And during the Kaliya pastime, it appeared that the cows got poisoned and they were on the bank of the river all, flopped over as if dead like that from drinking the water, etc. But again, not really possible that there could be death in the spiritual world or even in the material world where in Vrindavan. So it's a show or arrangement made by the Supreme Lord for certain pastimes, that's all. Yeah, primary names, we chant the primary names, we get prema. We chant secondary names, we can end up with material advancement and maybe liberation.
Old name belongs to the Lord.
Yeah, but some are very general. It's the people who are dedicated to very abstract names like Brahman or Paramatma or Creator, etc. Very general names. Indicating any pastimes in the spiritual world, then they end up in that position where they get a general realization of the Lord Brahman or maybe Paramatma at most. Whereas the names which indicate the beautiful form, qualities, and activities of the Lord, then they lead to Bhagavan realization. But then again, even the more general names, they may have another meaning which is more particular for pastimes of Bhagavan, as we see here, like Devadeva or Govinda, etc., or Purushottama. Even that could have a more personal meaning also, according to the type of devotee who chants it. But if it means just, very general Supreme Lord, then we get a very general realization of the Lord from that.
So he's in the spiritual even he's in the everyone's heart also.
Yeah.
As a Lord.
Yeah.
Or as we can say, as a Vaishya or as the Roshan deities also. All this is secondary, but it's okay as a primary
also. Yeah. Well, it depends again on the intention of the person who's chanting. So Vishnu can indicate all-pervading Lord, Paramatma, or it can also indicate Vaikunthanath, Lord of Vaikuntha. Some people also understand this as the Lord of Vaikuntha having pastimes with Lakshmi, etc. It depends on the intention of the chanter also.